Stop it.
Yeah. Linoleum knife.
Guess whose week it was to pick the theme song?
Mine.
You're a jerk.
What?
Bad enough that I have to put up with you, but that you make all of our listeners have to listen to whatever the hell that was.
I'm fixing to tell you what that was.
I'm sure you are.
Today, this week's theme fixin'. Music. This theme's theme music.
Yes.
Is from the Italian hardcore punk rock band of the 80s called Raw Power.
And I see that their A is an anarchist symbol, so they must be really badass.
Look, it was the 80s. Uh-huh. It was the 80s. And they had, everybody's A was an anarchy symbol in the 80s.
Bananarama's wasn't. And they had a bunch of A's. Like five.
In their hearts, though, you know that their A's were all anarchy symbols. Especially Kara.
Siobhan.
Not Siobhan. Kara.
She was trouble, that one.
She spelled her name with two E's. That's how much of a nonconformist she was.
An anarchista.
So that song from Raw Power, one of the great hardcore punk rock bands of Italy of the 1980s.
Per you.
Is called Destroy of Society. And that is how I feel today. I'm angry at everything.
So this is ESL hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I'm angry at everything. I hate everything. Today, somebody I know is suing somebody else I know. Guess who just got served a subpoena?
You got served.
On a Sunday afternoon. Like, what did I do wrong?
You literally got served.
Yes. And that's all I can say about it, right?
I don't know. It's a civil suit. I don't know that it really matters, but it's a stupid thing nobody cares about, but it's annoying.
It's going to take up a whole day of work. It's going to take a whole work day. I have to drive downtown. Y'all don't know what it's like to have to drive downtown Los Angeles in the middle of the day.
Oh, boo-hoo, Dave White. I drive to Koreatown twice a week.
But you know what they do for you in Koreatown when you get there?
What's that?
They have a job waiting for you. And Kyochan.
You got 40... You got
Korean
40, you got a,
fried chicken.
You got a check for 40 whole dollars. Which is a yeah. day, that's a day's work for you, right?
No. Sometimes
it's more than either of us have made making this podcast.
Sometimes it is more than I make in a day.
Well, anyway, okay, you're
also
allowed, you're angry.
I had to watch a Serbian film this week.
Yes, well,
and that got me all riled up.
Yes.
And
stop taking all of
it's
your
too warm.
Frustrations
it's October 30th
on the audience.
It's too warm.
It is.
In Los Angeles. I know it's snowing.
It's snowing in the Northeast.
In the Northeast, yes. But it's much too warm in Los Angeles. I won't say it's hot today.
No.
It's just too warm.
Yeah. Like the hoodie came off by 10:30.
Yeah. Like I'm wearing shorts. I mean, I'm in the house. That's why I'm wearing shorts. But like I wouldn't be wearing them outside ever. Also, it's too warm to have a cup of tea while I'm doing my podcast.
Well, you're having a cold beer.
I'm drinking beer instead. So I hate everything, especially all these movies.
You do the talking. I'm Dave White. I'm mad at the world because of my petty grievances. Blah, 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 blah.
Also, I went to Target yesterday, and everything smells bad in Target right now. I went to Target with Gary Cotty to buy him. He had to buy himself a new dresser for his house. And we get to Target, the West Hollywood Target.
Right.
Stinks. Like stinks, stinks, stinks. Why?
Why?
Yankee Candle. They've got their whole holiday selection up. A whole aisle.
So it's like a
Yankee Candle.
Of Halloween, Thanksgiving,
Yankee
and Christmas
Candle
at the same
is the
time.
Grossest candle company. In the world,
every
candle they have stinks horribly. Like, whatever it is it's supposed to smell like, it smells like that plus fart. Like, it is the grossest. I hate it.
All of their descriptions should start with fake.
Pumpkin pie,
fake
cookie
apple,
dough,
fake cookie
apple
dough.
Cinnamon baking, bready.
Fake peppermint,
bleh.
Fake apricot, whatever.
And it's all mixed together in one congealed, stinky foot smell. for the holidays in Target. So that's another thing that I don't like.
You've got a case of the Mondays one day early. You're getting a jump on the week.
I'm done.
With your crabby,
done with this podcast.
With your crabby Appleton-ness.
Talk about some movies. When I feel like talking about something, I'll join in, maybe.
Yeah, because you always need so much coaxing to share your opinions with the world.
One good thing
has
happened. I'm winning in the contest of who is the champion of this podcast.
No.
I'm currently winning.
No.
Because even if they say they want to vote for you, they always have nice things to say about me. And if they do vote for me, they don't say anything nice about you. Therefore, I'm winning.
Actually, that's not true. So far, we've gotten one vote that was... For one thing, we're not having this contest because it's stupid.
By virtue of the fact that you are discussing it
but
with me...
But in this contest we are not having
this contest.
We got one vote that was purely for me, one that was split and slightly edging towards you, and one that was split and slightly edging towards me. You have yet to receive a pure vote. I have, so shut it.
No.
I win.
Because... somebody on Facebook voted for me.
Oh, well, if they didn't, I'm sorry, if it didn't go into the email, it doesn't count.
Well, then you can't count Kurt Holman's because he just...
He said so on our page, though. Quit trying to stuff the ballot box, Mayor Daley.
Talk about a movie. No, wait, let's talk about...
What else?
I watched a Serbian film.
Yes. Everyone's dying to know what you thought of a Serbian film. And by the way, I do want to thank you, Dave White, for seeing a Serbian film and immediately saying, you don't need to see this.
You do not need to see this.
So I won't.
It is not. You can undownload it or whatever it is that
right,
you did
yes.
with the free download that yes. came with the DVD. I can't even describe what happens in this movie on this clean podcast.
Right.
But it's about a guy. It is a Serbian film. It is also titled a Serbian film, just in case people don't know what it is we're talking about.
So it's like the white label that says peas on it?
Basically, yeah.
It's a generic Serbian film.
But this is not a generic Serbian film.
No.
This is a film... that is meant to be a political allegory. It's meant to be about the atrocities and the genocide and the oppression and the horrible everything that's taken place in, you know, Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia, all those, you know, everything that...
The Balkans.
Everything that happened in the 90s and the ooze to those folks, and I guess even before then. And as a parable about the atrocity of war and the horribleness of things that people are forced to do in wartime. This is a story about a porn star who has to go back into porn in order to earn enough money to take care of his family because he can't earn money doing anything else, apparently. He's got a wife and a kid, little boy. Well, the people who decide they're going to pay him to do this what they call it art.
Don't call it a comeback.
Pornographic art is what they're calling it. He doesn't understand that these are very, 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 very bad people. And they make very, 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 very evil, murderous snuff porn with a variety of participants, a variety of ages. And that is everything I can say about this movie. It is incredibly violent. It contains things that you cannot unlook at. Like, you will see this movie, and then you will be like, I will always have that in my head now. And here's the thing. The American DVD...
Is the cleaned up version.
Is the cleaned up version, because I talked to Aaron afterwards, because he saw the unedited version. And the unedited version has, like, they show you the things that the edited American DVD version cuts away from. Which I don't need to, I don't need to go see. I don't need to see the stuff.
But you know
I know what they cut, and I don't need to look at it.
You know, but here's the thing. What bugs me about that sort of thing, it's not that, ooh, I want to see the gross stuff. It's that if an artist is going to rub your face in something, he's trying to make a point. Whereas,
this is a point. This movie has
right.
a point.
Whereas if they cut away from it, there's a certain coy kind of level of like, well, I'm going to imply this right. stuff, but I'm not going to commit to it. Like Jenny Livingston wrote this really cool thing about Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
And about how Tarantino promises more than he delivers. You know, mm-hmm. that like he'll show the whole long sequence of like Michael Madsen dancing around with the razor blade.
Right.
But then when it actually comes time to cut the ear off, like it's a long shot, like with the camera on the other side of the room.
Right.
And so that allows audiences to sort of vicariously be all sort of titillated by impending violence without having to sort of commit to the reality of the horror of it. And, you know, So
if you can watch the unedited version, you'll see the reality of the horror.
Right, and I'm just saying that I'm giving the filmmaker the benefit of the doubt that he was trying to convey horror. He wasn't trying to titillate the audience.
And yes.
So to cut away from it, I think really undercuts his mission.
That's what he had to do to get it released on DVD in the United States, I guess.
I guess,
you know, but. It's a really angry, 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 angry movie. Mm-hmm. But my biggest problem with it is I think it's just kind of artless. I mean, it's just sort of like it doesn't deliver its content in a way that I found cinematic. How's that?
Okay.
Maybe he was trying to make it look like some straight-to-DVD, too slickly produced, you know, Cinemax kind of movie. Maybe that's what his aesthetic is. Like, maybe that's his whole thing. If it is, then I'm mistaken. But I just don't know that I'm mistaken. I think that he doesn't. He's got a lot of anger, and he's got a lot of, you know, he's got a giant axe to grind about, you know,
what goes on?
What went on in Serbia, but it's weird because the bad guys in the movie are always, you know, talking about the grand nobility of their mission, and you know, we're making art and blah 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 blah. And at the end, when the porn star has to do something really 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 horrible to people he loves, you know, the filmmaker is there going, it is pure cinema. It is art. This is the happy people family. Like, it's just all, you know, it doesn't let you make the leap yourself.
Oh, right.
It's very, like, ham-fisted and
underlining and, things for you.
Yeah. And right. So I had a better time talking about the movie with Aaron while he was working the other day because
uh-huh.
he thinks parts of it are really funny.
Because he has no soul.
And, well, there's this, the part where I can't even describe this part. There's a thing that happens, and then there's a thing that the horrible filmmaker, the horrible movie maker guy yells as like a declaration of his like artistic fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even say really what he yells without evoking the thing that happens. And so I.
Well, I'm
forget
glad,
I ever
I'm
said
glad
it.
You brought that up.
Forget I ever said it. But there is unintentional humor to be found. And that's why, you know.
I see.
And there's, I mean, some of the gory killings in it are also kind of funny. Because it's, you know, it's bad guys getting. When some of the bad guys get their comeuppance, it's kind of funny. But it's in the context of this like thing that's making you throw up. So
all righty,
yeah. So I watched a Serbian film there.
Well, speaking of movies that are dividing critics, and we're definitely on one side of that divide. Like Crazy opened this weekend in limited markets.
Everybody likes this movie except
people,
us.
Yeah.
Like, we're alone.
Us and Christy Lemire. Yeah. I don't get it. Because every possible interpretation that I can run around in my head, none of them make it any better or more worthwhile or more interesting or whatever. The basic premise is that Felicity Jones is a British.
She's new. What's she been in?
She was other than that? She was Helen Mirren's daughter in The Tempest, She's been in, I think, a lot of British TV stuff. She's racked up quite a few credits. I haven't really seen her in that much. She plays a British college student who's studying in America. She falls in love with her classmate, Anton Yelchin. And then at the end of the year, because of her student visa expiring, she's supposed to go back to England for 12 weeks for a wedding, and then she'll be able to renew her visa and come back. But when the time rolls around for her to go, she's so in love with Anton Yelchin that she just can't bear to be by his side. So she winds up spending the summer in America. And then she goes back for the wedding. And then when she returns to the U.S., because she screwed up her student visa, they won't let her back in. So then they have this whole sort of like long distance relationship and trying to figure out what to do and should they get married and da 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 da. And during their long stretches apart, they both start seeing, well, he starts seeing Jennifer Lawrence. Does she start seeing somebody while they're apart, or until later?
That dude.
But they don't really get together until later, right?
She gets it on with the neighbor guy.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they both have something going on the side, but then like he'll go to England and visit her and they'll be all, and you know, and it, and then of course, like the closer they, the, okay, stop that. That's really high. The closer they get to sort of being able to stop it, to being in the same country, like the less they sort of seem to be into the relationship. And we don't really know what their relationship is built on anyway, because every time that they might have a conversation, the director and Sid gives us this montage.
You need a montage.
You need a montage. And yeah, I just found it super irritating. I didn't buy their relationship. And whether the movie is either saying that, oh, they're so awesome and aren't they wonderful, or isn't she a doofus, or whatever it is that it's saying, I didn't buy any of it. I didn't find any of it interesting or artful or worth seeing or of note at all.
Yes. I don't have an opinion about the content. About the story, mm-hmm. because it's open ended. Really, it leaves it up to you whether or not you think that, you know, it is so tragic that they can't make it work,
or they're just young and stupid,
or maybe you just think they're young and stupid. On one level, I think this would be a good movie to show an 18-year-old with the. With the caveat, you know, that you sit there and watch it with them, and then at the end you go, okay, here's everything that they did wrong. Now go live your life exactly the opposite
right.
of these dummies.
Go have real conversations with the person that you fall in love with.
I do have a problem with how their relationship was portrayed. You know, I don't know why they were so in love, because I never saw them talk about anything except whiskey. You know, she comes from a whiskey-loving family. They're like connoisseurs of whiskey.
They talk about scotch.
They talk about scotch a lot. And so she trains him to like good, you know, quality, fancy people scotch. And that's kind of their big conversation. Like, they don't have a lot to say other than the moon in each other's eyes and, you know, roll around in bed.
Yeah.
And making
scrapbooks
know,
about each other.
As a person who's been in a 16-year relationship, I know that I had conversations frequently, daily even, with the person that I've been in my 16-year long-term relationship with.
You'll have to introduce me sometime.
To who?
This, kidding.
Aha. So, I would like in a movie to see people having a talk, a little chat about anything. Really, anything. Not just your favorite scotch. Not like four conversations about your favorite scotch. Four or five conversations about four or five different things. Give me a sense of the way that you two are so in tune with each other, or whether or maybe it's an opposites attract sort of relationship. Maybe one of you really loves awesome Italian hardcore punk rock bands of the 80s and the other one just can't get with it. You know, maybe you're two very kinds of different people. I would like to know, movie, what kind of a couple these two people are in. And so, having said that,
if you'd like an example,
I also don't think that what were you going to say? Was it something important?
Well, I was going to say, if you'd like an example of how it's done right, and how you have a movie that's where conversations where that reveal things about the characters and make you understand what they might see in each other. Weekend.
Yeah.
yeah. which we've talked about already, which is available
here's the other thing.
On demand from Sundance Selects. If it's not playing in a theater near you, watch it.
Here's the other thing about Weekend that makes it better. This movie, like crazy, is shot in a similar sort of way. You know,
kind of bright and fuzzy.
No, I mean in that very sort of like naturalistic, where this is almost a documentary.
A lot of tight shots.
And a lot of handheld camera and you know, the camera sort of just, you know, drifts over to other details in the scene, you know, that kind of thing. But this felt really self-conscious to me, and it also felt less in control of that style. You know, you want to see this done right, you go watch a movie from the Dardenne brothers. They're the guys. You know, these Belgian brothers. They make amazing movies. Dardennes.
They have a new one coming out in March called The Kid with a Bike.
Kid with a Bike. It's coming out next March. They're starting to screen it already. I'm going to go.
Yeah, the show opens.
It's not opening until March of 2012. But I don't think this guy has that kind of control over himself, you know, yet as a filmmaker. So I'm not interested in this movie. I think these people are twits, and the filmmaking is, you know, sort of derivative of other stuff. And I'm not interested maybe his next movie he'll be more.
Well, isn't his first film. He's made a few features before this.
Yeah. What else does he make?
I don't remember, but I looked him up.
I'm going to go look this up.
And also, I've read a lot being made over the fact that, oh, and the dialogue was all improvised.
I don't care.
Yeah, well.
You can tell.
It wasn't good. It wasn't improvised well. Not a lot of yes.
Let's talk about scotch again.
There's not a lot of yes anding involved for single malts, you know.
Here's the other thing, just as a personal, observation. I'm looking at this dude, Anton Yelchin, and I'm thinking, okay, so you've got this one chick. She's, 5,000 miles away? Mm-hmm. 6,000 miles away. Instead of her, now you're eating ice cream with Jennifer Lawrence. You think you're going to do better than that? Honestly, do you think you're going to pull something better than Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, who brings him breakfast in bed.
Yeah. Brings him breakfast
not
in
only
bed.
Looks like Jennifer Lawrence.
Not only does she look like Jennifer Lawrence, she brings him breakfast in bed, and they just loll around the Third Street Promenade eating ice creams together. And I'm thinking to myself,
done.
British girl who?
Yeah.
You got Jennifer Lawrence. What do you, like, I look at Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm a gay, and I look at Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I get heterosexual men and what they see in the ladies. Look at that. That's Jennifer Lawrence. Look at what she is. I understand.
Yeah. You send Felicity Jones the "it was great fun, but it was just one of those things" text. And you move on with Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Who's devoted to him.
Yes.
Weeps
like,
over
works,
him.
Works in his little furniture factory and everything. Ugh. Irritating movie. Irritating. But people are loving it. So we're awful people or something.
No. I. You know what? I don't have anything against this guy, this filmmaker, Drake.
Dorimus,
I'm sure he's got stuff, you know, going on. Oh, he made Douchebag.
That's it.
Which I didn't see.
Me neither.
Something called Spooner, which I also did not see.
If Like Crazy worked for you, write us at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com and tell us what you saw in it, because...
And be nice.
Because, yeah, I know. I've been getting into it on Twitter with some people. Like, sorry, I don't get it. I'm just, you know...
Oh, I get it. I just don't like it.
I mean, I don't get what the people who like are liking is what I don't get. It's the dog whistle that I cannot hear. Anyway, enough of this. The big movie this weekend is Puss in Boots. Puss in Boots.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
It's, yeah. It's, you said you warmed up to it more.
As
you wrote the review.
As I wrote the review, I was like, I'm saying all these nice things about it in the review, and I'm like, Oh, I guess I liked it more than I thought I did. I don't know.
Because I really liked the beginning of it. Like, the first half or so, I was like, wow, this is so funny and exciting. And, you know, it's like all the best stuff of these kinds of movies, you know. And it's like, if you were going to spin a character off from the Shrek films, this would be the one to do.
This is the one. He's the breakout. He's witty.
Yeah, but
you know, he's funny.
And somewhere for me, it just sort of ran out of steam. And
sorry.
Stop it.
I was trying to hit the eject button. So sorry.
I'm going to run that cassette over with my car. Anyway.
Cassette is trying to destroy of society.
Of society.
It has a lot of things
I'm trying. I'm trying to review of movies here, so... So yeah, so, you know, Antonio Banderas again as Puss in Boots, and of course this time when I hear his voice, I'm thinking of the creepy surgeon from The Skin I Live In, but
that's
trying
right.
to put that behind
yeah.
me.
That's something you should watch, by the way.
Yes,
Skin I Live
we
In.
We reviewed it, but yes, it's a film to see.
I know we did.
But yeah, so Puss in Boots is basically
what
kind
if
of
they didn't listen to the podcast when we talked about.
Well,
it?
I can't imagine why that would have happened. I can't think of a
there
single
are 5 billion people
reason
in the
why,
world, and we have several. Dozen listeners. So,
but our back episodes are all archived.
Some of these listeners are brand new this week.
I hope so. I hope we're not that we're adding and not sloughing off.
We're like a zero sum sort of population. Like some people are like, I'm sick of these guys already, and then like somebody else is coming along going, I think I'll give this linoleum knife a chance, and then in 3 weeks they'll be like, I'm done.
Yeah, forget it. Yes, if you missed our previous episode about Skin I Live In,
we liked it.
We liked it. Go see it. This is Puss in Boots is, I guess, an origin story. You know, it's you know, his latest adventure brings him face to face with his childhood best friend turned mortal enemy, and yeah, they have adventures. But you know, it's worth seeing for the parts that are good.
Don't see it in 3D.
Yeah, I think we saw it in a really crappy theater. Because
I've read reviews that praised the 3D.
Yes, same here. That's
so
what I was
going to
say.
We must have seen it.
They showed it to us at the Chinese Six in Hollywood, and it was crazy dark. Like, I've heard...
Yeah.
I've never...
It was a mess.
I've never... I think with the possible exception of Priest...
I had my glasses off about half the time.
With the possible exception of Priest, I have never seen a 3D movie this dark. Like I really... Like, oh, this is what people mean when they complain about how dark 3D
is.
Yep. So, you know, if you see it in 3D, see it in a theater that you know will do it right. But you could probably live with just seeing it in 2D.
It was dark and muddy and murky, and I had my glasses off half the time.
Yeah. But even without the glasses...
So if it's playing at the Chinese Six in Los Angeles, and you live in Los Angeles, and you think you're going to go see this movie, don't go see it at the Chinese Six.
No, or call them in advance and say, have you guys fixed that thing yet?
Have you fixed your problems yet?
I heard it was dark.
But don't call, because you know what they're going to do? If you get a human being on the phone, the human being is going to go, I don't know. Because that human being is going to be 16 years old.
And making minimum
and
wage.
And not caring.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. What else? What other movies are we talking about?
What other movies are we talking about? In Time.
Which is totally fun and stupid.
Pretty much, yeah. But it has one of the most daringly leftist political messages I've seen in a Hollywood movie.
That is true.
When I was writing my Christmas movie book, Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas, now available. I saw this film from the late 40s called It Happened on Fifth Avenue, which is about this homeless guy who spends every winter living in this New York mansion while the guy who owns it is off in Virginia at his you know, country house. And all these people wind up sort of moving in, and it becomes this sort of like tribute to the joys of collectivism, you know. And I mean, there's this great kind of socialist slant to it. In fact, one of the writers sadly was blacklisted in the McCarthy hearings a few years later. Oh my God, In Time is so very socialist. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a movie that constantly accuses rich people of only having their wealth because they stole it from everyone else,
which is true.
You know, it's about the unequal distribution of wealth, or in this case, time.
Also true.
And it's from News Corp.
That's crazy.
Which is, yeah. So, And I already had some commenter on the rap trying to say that, oh, well, no, actually, Robin Hood is a conservative tale, you know.
Right.
Because
it's anti-taxation or something.
Yeah. Bleh.
Right.
Anyway, in this movie, it's set in the future where you stop aging at 25. But the caveat is that at 25, you've only got a year left to live. But you can add or subtract time because that is the currency. So rich people have all the time in the world, literally, and can live.
And they can live forever if they want to.
Yeah, in their perfect 25-year-old bodies. Whereas poor people literally are living day to day and having to like struggle to, you know, to get what they need and to make loans at high interest and. You know, and they're constantly raising prices.
The rich people are constantly raising the cost of living, and they're constantly increasing the interest on the debts that the poor people have.
Because basically the world can't handle all these people living forever. So for the rich people to live forever, they have to like kill off
the poor people have to die
of the poor people. Yeah, and you know, which is it's kind of a cool metaphor, allegory.
I like it. Yeah,
the movie itself is. Fairly ridiculous.
It's not fairly ridiculous. It's 100%
okay,
ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous.
It is the stupidest movie that I have seen in months, I think. Maybe as stupid as, what was that terrible Jennifer Goodwin and Kate Hudson movie?
Something Borrowed.
Something Borrowed. It is maybe as stupid as that movie.
Wow. That's a high bar.
But I had a blast watching this movie because
it goes for it.
They goes for it and they stick it to the man. In 2008, I was visiting my family in Texas. My 12-year-old niece at the dinner table asked me, who are you going to vote for? I go, Obama. She goes, no, he's a socialist. I go, so am I. And that shut up everybody at the table.
And, oh, Texas.
Because you got to say things like that in Texas.
Yeah.
To get them, to get up their noses in Texas. You got to, when someone calls you a socialist in Texas, you got to go, yes, ma'am. That's what you do. Because that way they're listening to you after that. They're not ignoring you.
Well, because they are shocked that you don't look like, you know, you're all four members of Rage Against the Machine.
You don't even have to believe that you don't have to be really a socialist. You just have to be like, yeah, I am. Ha ha, what you going to do about it?
Right.
You know, this movie, they drove around in such an awesome car in this movie. And it might as well have had Eat the Rich on its personalized plate. It is, that's this movie. This movie is socialist. It is that.
And I keep forgetting to mention this in various venues. I keep forgetting to mention this. So now I'm going to point out the fact the cars in this movie are awesome and they are way better than the future 2020 cars of Real Steel. Specifically the truck that Hugh Jackman drives around that has a second windshield
on his feet
at shin level for no reason at all. There's who is going to need to look down through your knees through another window. It's so dopey and pointless.
These cars in time were as good as the future cars of the Apple.
Ooh.
That's how good these cars are. And those are some good future cars.
Yeah, but the Apple only had two of them. They just used them over and over again. This one had a whole bunch.
This is great about the movie. The cars in the Apple were like these long wood-paneled station wagons.
With like little satellite dishes glued onto them.
Aluminum foil things on them. Like so great. And
yeah, if you've never seen the Apple, I think it might still be available on Netflix streaming.
Probably.
You need to watch the Apple. Because it's
a 1980 futuristic disco musical, new wave disco musical.
Set in the future world of 1994.
Yeah.
And shot in West Berlin and set in some nebulous country that's maybe supposed to be America, but
it's supposed to be America.
Yeah, but they talk about America the way that Europeans do. So anyway, we digress. in time, dopey, real fun, and politically subversive. So what's not to like?
Right.
What else? There was something else this week.
The Apple is available on Netflix streaming.
Yay.
Netflix Instant. You can see the Apple right now.
Go do it as soon as we're finished.
What's the other movie? Anonymous.
Anonymous.
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw Anonymous.
I saw Rum Diary.
Right.
Yeah.
Anonymous, like In Time, very smart, stupid. The premise basically is that Shakespeare was a big phony. And that all of his plays and sonnets and poems were written by Edward de Vere, the 17th Earl of Oxford. who had to keep his identity anonymous because he was using the plays to try and manipulate behind-the-scenes power plays during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. And so Shakespeare was just this sort of drunken actor who became the front for him. And I'm sure if you are an actual Elizabethan scholar, you could probably pick about a million holes in the theory of this movie. And it definitely shows you the evidence they want to. Like the plays that are used, you know, to sort of have political implications are the ones, the famous ones, the ones you read in 10th grade. It's all, you know, Julius Caesar and Hamlet and Richard III. You know, they don't really go into like Cymbeline or Twelfth Night or anything. The thing is, it's rousingly entertaining, even though it's completely ridiculous. It's directed by Roland Emmerich, who made 2012 and Independence Day and 10,000 BC.
I like that dude.
Yeah, so it's, you know, not of a piece of his usual thing, but he definitely knows how to keep the crowd interested. So there's a lot of sword fighting and bear baiting and you know, just craziness going on. And Queen Elizabeth is played... Young Elizabeth is played by Jolie Richardson, and then old Elizabeth is played by her mother, Vanessa Redgrave. And
see what they did there?
Vanessa Redgrave as old Elizabeth looks a lot like Quentin Crisp as old Elizabeth, but I think that's just because that's what old Elizabeth looked like. So, yeah, it's kind of dopey, but really, I had a good time. I was never bored. Reese Iffens plays Edward de Vere. And
is it Iffens or Iffens?
Iffens, I don't even know.
Probably Iffens.
I always think of him as, you know, the guy from Notting Hill, you know, the shaggy roommate of Hugh Grant. So to see him be all classy and, you know, combed beard and wearing a doublet and all, he was totally convincing and really good. David Thewlis plays this sort of villainous Puritan who's got the Queen's ear, who's, you know, up to all kinds of machinations, and Rafe Spall, son of Timothy, who was in The Awful One Day, plays Shakespeare, and it's kind of junky, but I had fun. Tell us about Rum Diary.
I just looked at movies.com, and which, by the way, we never introduced ourselves this week. We just went.
Did we not? Oh,
we started. Goodness. We went right into the talking.
You're Dave White of movies.com, and KCRW is Unfictional.
That's correct.
37 minutes into the show.
You're Alon Zitarelli of therap.com. Yeah, my Rum Diary review has not posted yet on movies.com.
I'm also of What the Flick on the Young Turks Network on YouTube.
I like this movie. It's getting very mixed reviews, mm-hmm. like straight down the middle, kind of mixed. I like it because it's about failure. And I don't think that we have enough movies about failure. It's Johnny Depp plays a fictionalized version of Hunter S. Thompson mm-hmm. in 1960 in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and he's working for a crappy newspaper that's geared to American tourists.
Now, is he playing somebody who is, like, starting out in his career, or is he supposed to be sort of a veteran at this point?
He's supposed to be sort of like a middling, struggling, half-broke-down sort of guy.
So he's a character that it's plausible that 48-year-old Johnny Depp is playing.
No.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Just wondering.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So he's working for this crappy newspaper, and it's about to go under, and he gets accidentally, he's also a total alcoholic or borderline alcoholic or whatever. He gets involved with these two other guys at the newspaper. Michael Rispoli of The Sopranos. He played Jackie Aprile on The Sopranos. And Giovanni Ribisi, who is a wasted wreck of a half human being. Basically, he's playing Captain Jack Sparrow. Like, he's never not blotto and smoking, like, whatever crack was in 1960. They find themselves sort of involved either, you know, accidentally or against the purposes of these shady land developers. And this is against the backdrop of a Union Carbide sort of environmental disaster that no one really is paying much attention to. And Johnny Depp is sort of the low-key guy.
An actual Union Carbide disaster or like something like a Union Carbide?
No, they say Union Carbide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's Bhopal,
Puerto Rico. Probably really happened, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Johnny Depp is the conscience of this movie, even though he's all, you know, screwed up all the time. And he's learning to find his journalistic voice. And so he wants to fight the man, but he's just too much of a, you know,
wastrel,
a mess along with everyone else to get the job done. So he fails. He totally fails. And the movie is so interesting because it's not so interesting. Like the plot sort of is sort of sprinkled around the edges. There's a lot of stuff going on, but there's nothing. The plot is really sort of like, oh, we're moving in the direction of a plot. Nah, we're not. You know, and I like movies that make me wonder what's going on.
Sure.
I like movies that make me wonder what the story really is. Like, what am I watching? And why am I watching it?
That aren't married to a three-act structure.
I'm happy to be watching it, but I don't know what's going on, really. I'm hoping that something eventually comes of this. And I feel like it did. So I was kind of into it. Here's the other thing. Amber Heard is the femme fatale in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, I can't even describe, like,
She's so beautiful, she's an alien.
She's so beautiful, she's an alien. I've seen her in basically everything she's done so far.
I saw Drive Angry, shot in 3D.
And I have this fantasy life all in my head for her.
Right.
I believe that the minute she drove into Los Angeles, I don't know where she's from. I believe the minute she drove into Los Angeles.
From Iowa or
from
whatever.
Iowa or wherever she's from. That she got out of her little Honda Civic and they immediately began laying palm fronds down on the ground just so nothing would get soiled underneath her, you know. She seems unreal to me. I don't even know if she's a good actress or not. She might be already and she might eventually become, if she's not, she might become one. But what I see in every movie that she's in is the camera jaying it over her. Like, there is no thing that she can do that doesn't look beautiful.
It's like Charlize Theron pre-Monster.
Right.
Or Theron, or however you say her.
Theron? I say Theron.
I've heard Theron from the South Africans, but, you know.
Really?
That's how the guy from District 9 said it.
Can he be trusted? Do you think he might have an axe to grind?
No, they're buddies. Like,
oh, they are.
Yeah, there's a thing on YouTube of like he was getting some award from somebody,
right.
And like from some South African thing, and so they did this whole film where he's at her house trying to get her to come present this award.
Oh, that's right, I saw
and
that.
And she's talking to her on the intercom. It's
right.
Really funny.
And she's pretending she has no idea.
Yes, yes.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So they're buddies. Well, if he says Theron, it's Theron.
Theron it is.
But you know what? He might be busting her balls by saying Theron.
Maybe.
They might be those kind of friends.
Charlie T.
They might be those kind of friends where you're constantly just like screwing with them,
mm-hmm.
to get under their skin somehow. We have some friends like that.
I don't know a thing about what you're
AKA
talking about.
All of them. So the
Amber Heard.
What? Amber Heard. She's, I think, I have this other idea about her. I believe that she announced the fact that she likes chicks early in her career, before she became famous, as a calculated career move. Because think of it like this. Every power lesbian casting director in the city, they want to be in the Amber Heard business, right?
They want to be in Amber Heard's business in any event.
And every dude in the business
thinks that he can get not only her
but her girlfriend. Right. Like that's I think
unless her girlfriend looks like Cynthia Nixon's girlfriend or something. In which case for straight guys
I don't think her girlfriend does look like Cynthia.
No, I'm just saying.
I think her girlfriend looks like her.
I'm just saying the straight guy fantasy it's got to be her and another.
She is the straight guy fantasy cuz she's a for real lesbian.
Right.
Who's
what I'm saying you're not listening to me.
No, I'm not.
I'm saying the straight guy fantasy is that the third girl, the second girl in the equation has to be in the neighborhood of hotness of Amber Heard,
right.
And not like, you know, Butchy Butcher stuff. Straight guy is not having it.
Right, right. But so anyway, I'm fascinated by her.
Okay.
Mostly because I can't stop looking at her. Like, I just look at her and I, just like Jennifer Lawrence, I look at her and I go, all right, I understand. This makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Here she is. Here's the reason why straight guys love chicks. her and Jennifer Lawrence. That's that. That's it right there.
Is that all this week?
We have to talk about DVDs that we are recommending.
Well, no, of course, yes.
That's all the movies.
Yes, that is all the
movies. Unlike last week when there were 17 movies that came out. I have a movie that's coming out on DVD this Tuesday, and I haven't even seen it. I just am looking at the ad and the...
It's
and
a sequel to a movie that you've also not seen.
Synopsis, it's a sequel to a movie I have also not seen.
But you're going to endorse it anyway.
I'm going to endorse it anyway. The name of this movie is A Golden Christmas 2. The Second Tale, T-A-I-L.
Go clever. Did you
and
see
I'm assuming there? I'm assuming that the first movie is called A Golden Christmas.
I'm
just guessing.
That would be a safe bet, I think.
Well, the DVD box, it goes straight to DVD on Tuesday.
That's
the
how
DVD
you know
box
coming.
Has three big Christmas stockings, and in those three big Christmas stockings are four Golden Retriever puppies.
Oh.
Now, I've seen a Serbian film in the past 7 days. And you know what I would like?
Puppy time.
Some golden retriever puppies.
Okay.
Here's the synopsis. Spending time with each other and their dog, married retirees Rod and Catherine begin to feel restless. They rediscover a purpose in life when they try to play matchmaker for their dog-loving neighbor Lisa and her ex-boyfriend David. With the help of some golden retriever pups, can both of the couples find true happiness just in time for Christmas?
What do you think?
I'm watching this. I'm going to watch A Golden Christmas 1.
Because yeah, you really need the backstory.
And then I'm going to watch A Golden Christmas 2. I'm going to watch these two movies.
Right.
And I think I'm going to like them both.
Okay.
Puppies. It's going to take about 2,000 puppies.
To wash a
Serbian film out of my head.
Fair enough.
And if it's a Christmas movie with puppies.
So much the better.
Even better.
My DVD picks this week are also Christmas movies because
it's after it's I mean it's fixing
it's
to be,
almost
tomorrow
after Halloween
is Halloween and the day after Halloween is Christmas.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving is a
good meal
is
in
a
there.
Food baby bump in the road yeah. And that's yeah.
November 1 is when my iTunes goes to all Christmas music and
that is weird. I will vote.
Well,
that you are weird for
well,
that.
Well, you know, you can go destroy a society I'm listening to...
Even in December, I'm not
to,
listening
to Peggy Lee. Anyway, I like it. And so, and I'm also, it's time
I
to...
I love Christmas.
And it's time to...
I just don't have to listen to the songs.
And it's time to start revving up the publicity machine for Have Yourself a
Movie
Little
Christmas by Alonzo Duralde.
And you can get it at Amazon right now, but if you would like to order a signed copy directly from moi, drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
And we'll tell you how.
And we'll explain how that process works, and we'd love to sell you one.
It involves my PayPal account.
But we have a lot of fun things coming up for that. I've mentioned before, on December 2nd, here in Southern California, I will be doing a double feature at the Aero Theater with the American Cinematheque of two movies not on DVD. Christmas Holiday, starring Deanna Durbin and Gene Kelly, and the Scottish comedy Comfort and Joy. And December 6th is when A Night at the Movies, Merry Christmas, premieres on TCM.
That's
and
right.
I'm almost positive that I'm going to be on that.
They sure did tell you did a good job.
Yes, they were very complimentary, and since then too. So I'm thinking that that's all good.
You're probably in it at least once.
I think so. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to announce this for the first time on the podcast because what the heck?
What?
This year I will be presenting a lecture and clip show about Christmas movies on the very first TCM Cruise.
Turner Classic Movies.
The cruise that...
is sold out, so you can't go.
Yeah, it is sold out.
All the old folks got their tickets before you did.
And has been sold out for a while. So there's my promoting it is sort of pointless, except I'm just bragging, I guess. But anyway, I'm really excited about it. I'm going to be talking about Christmas movies on the high seas. It's the second week of December, and it's going to be really awesome. And... cool people are going to be on this thing. I'm going to be on a boat with Ernest Borgnine, which is everyone's dream.
A boat with Ernest Borgnine. You're going to be on a cruise ship with Ernest Borgnine at Christmas time. That is even closer to the Poseidon Adventure than me hanging out at Silver Spoon just trying to get a glimpse of Shelley Winters in her signature booth.
We take it where we can. So that's coming up. Very excited.
I'm pretty
about
envious of that thing.
Thank you.
With you. Because I would have no problem whatsoever. And you know I never approach celebrities.
Right.
I would walk right up to him and go,
"My Linda.
My Linda. Preacher, you killed the only thing I ever loved in this whole world. My Linda. You killed her. You killed her." And then he says it 3 or 4 times.
You're great. So anyway.
Remember the time we went to see it and I dressed like Ernest Borgnine to go see it? I wore the deep V-neck white t-shirt.
You sprinkled water on somebody during the...
When the ship turned upside down, I sprayed water on Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. My DVD picks this week. This is kind of cool. All coming out on Blu-ray for the first time this month. Scrooged with Bill Murray. The classic Alistair Sim 1951 A Christmas Carol in a 60th anniversary DVD edition that includes an intro by Leonard Maltin and several silent movie versions of A Christmas Carol and all kinds of other cool stuff, which is very exciting. And my personal favorite of the screen adaptations of A Christmas Carol, the 1971 musical Scrooge, starring Albert Finney and Alec Guinness and Dame Edith Evans, on Blu-ray for the very first time. So if you are a fan of A Christmas Carol, there is a bounty of adaptations on Blu-ray waiting for you this month. And we have a letter. We have another letter.
What?
The emails are finally starting to happen. So thank you all for writing us, and please keep doing it. We are at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. This one comes from the UK.
Have I read this yet?
You have not. We have. This is yet another listener in the UK. It's all happening. We're Who's more popular in the UK than they are in the US? I'm sure there's Maxine Nightingale. There we go. We're the new Maxine Nightingale. I couldn't think of another better.
You'll have
metaphor
to come up with somebody that people know.
I know. Yeah. I know. Anyway, James V responding to my DVD pick last week being Attack the Block says, a couple of responses to your most recent podcast. A, Marmite is a very personal choice.
I forgot we talked about Marmite.
Plenty of people in the UK hate it with a passion too. Me amongst them, it looks and smells like creosote to me. Creosote is like tar, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Look it up. It's one of those British-y words. I don't really know what creosote. I know Mr. Creosote is the fat guy.
Creosote is a British-y
in
word.
Monty Python. Nobody talks about creosote here. I'm sure there's another word. It's like. What
you're right. Tar.
It is tar. Yeah. We went to Food Lab that time, and what did the woman call the vegetables?
Not Food Lab. Oh yeah, Food
it
Lab.
Was Food Lab.
Yeah, because she's from London.
Yes.
And I ordered the vegan sandwich.
Yes.
And I said, "What's on the vegan sandwich?" And she said.
And she got a panicked look on her face.
She said, "Oh, aubergine and courgettes." And I was like, "Eggplant and zucchini." And she's like, "Oh, yes, I'm sorry." She had just moved to California.
Right.
She was like fresh off the plane from London.
So, yeah, so those are British-y words, yeah. And so is creosote.
Yeah, okay.
Although Mr. Creosote is the fat guy in Monty Python's Meaning of Life.
Right.
Anyway, back to this letter from James V. B, the opening scene of Attack the Block, where the main female character emerges from the subway station, or tube station, as we call them here, was filmed just down the road from where I live. Fact.
Nice.
Feral gangs such as those in the film are not as prevalent as you'd think, but I think the film's great, too. It captured a South London vibe well. C, if we can listen and understand U.S. accents from Minnesota to New Jersey to the Deep South, then you should do the same for the U.K. Deal with it. No, I'm sorry. I'm American, so the rest of the world has to accommodate me. D, if you liked Attack the Block, you should check out some of the work Joe Cornish did on an earlier on a TV show here called The Adam and Joe Show with his friend Adam Buxton. Among the gems on this show were recreations of hit films and TV shows done entirely with cuddly toys. They did Toy Train Spotting, Toytanic, and my personal favorite, Show Toys. They can be found all over the place on YouTube, but he sent us a couple of links. I'll put them on the Linoleum Knife page on Facebook. E, keep up the good work, sirs. I am already eager to check out a couple of films you've mentioned that will probably hit the UK in about 2013. F, are you still using old school cassette tape at the beginning of each podcast?
Yes, we are.
I've been trying to work out what all the clicks and button pressing relates to. I will be particularly impressed if it's either 8-track or mini disc.
No,
it is. As you'll probably be one of the few cassette. To still be using said technology. No, it's just it's a cassette player. Yeah. Right, I'm writing this at work, so I better stop and do some work. Cheers, James. Well, thank you, James. We appreciate it.
There is a funny thing about Marmite in like crazy that we didn't talk about. She has a little thing on her refrigerator. It's a little picture of a jar of Marmite, and next to it it says, smells effing terrible.
Terrible. Like, yeah. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And that's a fact.
Yeah.
It does smell.
It smells bad. It smells like creosote.
But see, like I said last week.
If Nigella says spaghetti and Marmite is good, Nigella I will try. If Nigella says
spaghetti and Marmite is good, I deserve. She's not steered me wrong very often.
No. It's like when Nancy Silverton said, here, try this head cheese.
Right.
You're not going to say no. And it was awfully good. So, yeah. Coming from the right source, you're going to just.
Was it head cheese or is that sweetbreads?
No.
What's the difference?
Sweetbreads is where they bring it. They still sort of look like brains. I mean, head cheese is all sort of like. They make kind of a sausage out of it. They serve these flat slices of it. Yeah. Mom.
No, but I mean that really did happen to us. Nancy Silverton really did come
She really upsold the head.
Come to the table and say, "Eat this stuff." We're not like pals with her or anything. This famous chef, but some friends of ours.
We have a close friend in common, and said close friend was nice enough to let us come to the tryout night of Osteria Mozza before it opened, which is the last time we would ever be able to get a table there.
Or afford a table there.
And so pretty much whatever Nancy came up to the table and said, you should try this, we're like, okay, yes, bring it. And whether it was head cheese or trotter, it was all great.
I will try Marmite again on a piece of toast and or on some spaghetti.
I will try it the way Nigella says is with the spaghetti. On toast, forget it. But I will try it with the spaghetti.
Because I only tasted it once, and that was in 1989. I'm,
1989.
Yeah.
Oh, come on! Like I can say the word Minneapolis without you going
Minneapolis.
Yeah. So shut up. I believe that brings us to the end of another Linoleum Night.
Minneapolis.
Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Please tell your friends about the show. Go to iTunes and leave us a nice review if you like the show. If you don't, just keep it under your hat. You can follow us on...
Keep it under your hat. If you don't like us, piss off.
You can follow us on Facebook.
There.
The Linoleum Knife Podcast page. You can like us. Twitter, we are at LinoleumCast. If you are on GetGlue.com, you can check in and let people know that you're listening to the show. We're listed under TV shows for reasons unknown to me, but you can still do it. We would love to point you to our dear, dear friends in the podcast universe, the Popcorn Mafia, the Comedy Couch, Blowhard, the Podcast, Fat Guys of the Movies, Criterion Cast, Secretly Timid, and Glitter in the Garbage.
And Secretly Timid People, I'm way behind on Work of Art. I haven't caught up yet, so I can't participate in this conversation just yet.
Well, I think they've moved on.
Oh, you think? I don't think they have.
I don't know. But they're totally with me on the Snowboard Bros.
Just because they haven't talked about it.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they're not watching.
They're totally down with me with the Snowboard Bros on Amazing Race now being totally annoying. Because
they are annoying.
It's one thing if you go on a reality show and you talk about how, like, you know, I love the Lord and he's got my back and blah, blah, blah.
Fine.
But you know what? If you go to a Buddhist country and talk about how you know who the true Lord is, then bite me. I'm sorry. That's just obnoxious.
You're being rude. That's not good manners.
That's tacky. So enough said about that. Drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com, especially if you want to buy a book from me. if you want an autographed copy of my first book, 101 Must-See Movies for Gay Men,
if you want to vote for me in the contest of who is the
greatest. There is not a contest. Or, of course, if you want to buy a copy of Dave's book, Exile in Guyville.
Yeah, sure. That's what they want. Whatever, man.
Anyway, we thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Have a good week.
I still hate everything. Goodbye.
You don't hate our listeners.
You don't know. I might hate a couple of them. I haven't met them. Maybe they'll listen. Maybe they listen to us and like us, but I would hate them personally.
You love all of our listeners.
I'm going to say that until I discover otherwise,
You're giving them all the benefit
of the doubt. I'm going to give them all the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, that's good enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Goodbye.